Hello and welcome to Mage Hand High Five, your third favorite actual play podcast. I'm your GM, Max Weinberg. My pronouns are he, him, and thank you for joining us for the finale of Thank God It's Doomsday. Once again, I want to thank Kobold Press for their support, as this is part of their Kobold Creates program for 2025. And if you like what you hear about Tales of the Valiant or want to check out any other of the amazing products they create, head on over to koboldpress.com using the affiliate link in the episode description, because it really helps us out. Joining me, ranked from least to most likely to vindictively read the entire employee handbook with the sole purpose of finding a loophole, Casey Pappas.
Yeah, my ADHD won't let me read that whole thing. Hi, I'm Casey, he, him, and I am playing Sonya Grimhart.
Next is Sheduk Tissera.
Yeah, that's spot on. I'm too lazy to read.
Period.
Fair at the end. Full I thought that was going somewhere.
Nope. I'm lazy.
Third was honestly kind of 1A and 1B, but after last episode got kind of was given a tiebreaker. So third is Rowan McStay.
I'm Rowan McStay, playing Merrick Willoughby, and I'm deep in the text. If I have a point to prove, I will prove it in the most lawful good, like, subsection A.2x way possible.
And probably right where they belong at the top of this list, Robin Ekberg.
Hello, beautiful people. My name is Robin Ekberg, Captain Curl on all things. My pronouns are they, but if you meet me at a Magic the Gathering tournament, he is fine. Don't call me they in that space. I don't need that he.
I
have so many questions, but we do not have time to get into. I'll ask later.
My brain is filled with bumblebees, therefore it's so difficult for me to read employee textbooks. However, comma, I appreciate as to why I'm on the top, because of my crimes, but my crimes are made on a flip note of Rowan, as Rowan's doing lawful good evil. I'm just doing evil for the sake of evil. I don't need an employee textbook selling me a loophole. I'm just going to do it. And then if it turns out it's a loophole, hell yeah. That's why I always have a lawyer friend on standby. Get me out of it.
And with that, previously on Thank God It's Doomsday. Since Holdafar's declaration, the office has been stressed. In addition to the increased workload, there have been increasing signs of sabotage after the Dix inspection. Merrick asks the others how they think they can improve company morale and gets a wide range of answers in response. Boslara, with a dejected Kel Belleth in tow, drops a package on Bartholomew's desks, telling them to fix it with Sonya. Boslara and Kel then head into Indica's office, where he and Merrick decide to cheer Kel up by putting on a production of Anton Chekhov's The Seagull after work. Down in the warehouse, Sonya and Bartholomew put the magic hammer Pathforge back together, but upon completion, it's discovered that Kel is unable to activate it. Afterwards, Boslara and Bartholomew have an uncomfortable heart-to-heart while Sonya grabs, quote, coffee with Dendra and agrees to watch the seagull with her. At the conclusion of the seagull, Pathforge finds its way into Brian's hands, beginning to glow, and Boslara appoints him the true herald of the apocalypse. Where we are now, the four of you are all huddled around Indica's desk while he hurriedly refreshes his email.
No, it's coming. I swear to God, she said she's going to email. She's.
Bling! You all see an email from Cindy Yorger with the subject line, The Great Chantry, A Week in Review.
I always mark these as red.
Yeah, I don't really read these. I'm just going to put this in the trash.
Well, no, that might have stuff on it.
Hold on, people really spend a lot of time on that. We should probably honor each other's work. Okay, Someone really put a lot of work into that.
Okay, we'll read it. We'll read this one. Okay, I open it.
Maybe it said something about the seagull. Maybe there's a review.
Oh, you're right.
Oh my God, there's probably a review.
Oh, yeah, do we... I don't know that we need to read reviews of our work, you know?
Sonya.
All right, Sonya.
Throw up.
I spent 1,500 gold inviting the press. I think we do definitely.
You spent... Yeah. Oh my God.
That was a lot of money. Did the press come?
1,500 gold is like...
I can tell you they did not, based on Article 2 of this newsletter.
Oh.
I save a lot of money.
The first article is titled, "This Guy? The Brian Andrinal Story."
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brian.
The second is, "Go Goblin, Where Did You Go?" An investigative piece about the Chantry's new rule about not allowing non-Chantry employees on the premises.
Oh, thank
you. Oh, is that God. Why my Thai food never came from?
Oh, God, I wonder if they left it outside.
It's a very small snippet of the food getting devoured by imp raccoons.
Let me go check. There's just a shredded paper bag out front.
Demon wildcats.
And third, an unexpected triumph. The Great Chantry's production of The Seagull takes flight.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of a review. As a big fan of Anton Chekhov, I was incredibly wary of this production of The Seagull directed by Indica. He had never shown any interest in the arts besides the occasional erotica listen with the new herald, Brian Andrinal.
Does that count?
That counts.
No, that counts. That counts.
Despite all the timeouts, my concern could not have been more misplaced. Everything about this show was a revelation. The use of business casual costumes coupled with the simplicity of a few chairs as set dressing really elevated the exploration of the nature of success and failure and gave the actors no places to hide. And let me tell you, hide they did not. While everyone was fantastic, Merrick Willoughby flew head and shoulders above the others, navigating Nina's journey with subtlety as she transforms from a young, idealistic, aspiring actor into a persevering seagull. There are not many people that I would trust with a gun, but two of them were in the room that day. Anton Chekhov and Indica. 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Nice. I get to keep Chekhov's gun.
They didn't mention the seagull at all. I thought I did a good job, and they didn't mention the seagull.
Derek, you did. Remember, we were talking about if you were saying that if we keep the seagull alive, people won't even notice, and I think that rang true.
I think you really did your job. You know,
you really proved me wrong when I said the seagull has to die, and you were like, no.
It's one of those things I think where, and Merrick is like blushing with the glow of a compliment, and they're like, I think it's just one of those things that. It's one of those roles that it's its own reward. You know, if you do it and you do it well, the audience would notice if it wasn't there. But because it was there, you just fit right in. It was perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Best supporting seagull.
Best supporting seagull.
It feels like, Sonia, we didn't even really need you back there. You could have just sat in the crowd with Deirdre, I think. Dendra, whatever her name is.
Sonia.
It's Dendra.
Sonia sits for a second and then mutters to herself, maybe the world does need to end.
Hey, wait, what did Dendra think of the show?
I don't know.
Did you not talk to Dendra, Sonia?
Did you ask her?
Sonia's like, maybe I should have capitalized on that.
Wait, she was sitting in the front row. You didn't talk to her?
I think I was too busy guarding the forklift.
I want to take off the HR hat for a second.
Whoa.
Sonia, what are you doing?
I'm just doing my best, you know? Like, I got to keep track of an entire warehouse full of folks, and then, you know, I see a pretty face, and I just clam her up.
All right, you know what? Leave this office right now. Go ask Dendra what she thought of the show.
Right now?
Yes.
Cool, I'm gonna go do that.
As Sonia makes her way up to accounting, Brian's desk is empty, but Dendra is sitting at hers.
Awesome, 2 for 2. I head over to Dendra's, and I go, huh, this isn't the way to the warehouse. Oh, hey, Dendra.
No game.
She doesn't turn from her computer.
Sonia, you idiot.
It's down the elevator.
I know where the elevator to the warehouse is. I was just trying to find an excuse to come up here and talk to you about the show. Did you like the show?
It was entertaining.
Yeah. Listen, I feel like something's kind of weird right now, and it's not just sort of the air of the upstairs offices.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
You know?
You don't say.
Are you okay? Did something happen?
Oh, I'm great. I've never been better. But I thought I was supposed to have company at the show, and it was just an empty chair. You know?
Ah.
I guess it makes sense that you don't know how to find the warehouse because you couldn't find that chair.
God. Oh, God. Yeah, no, I kind of got kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
I sort of got forced into working on the show and in the show, just like not on stage. I was backstage. And in hindsight, a smart person would have told you that was what happened. And I didn't communicate that, which, you know, despite my multiple master's degrees, makes me the April Fool. So I'm sorry. I should have checked in with you before, and I guess I also should have checked in with you after, but I was too busy guarding the forklift from certain forklift bandits.
Forklifters, if you will.
Forklifters.
Ooh, that's good.
I can imagine that probably bugged you something fierce. I didn't mean to do that. And how about I make it up to you?
For the first time, she turns to you and goes, how?
Well, I got a bunch of different ideas. There's a mini golf course nearby. If you're down for a little putt, gosh, I mean, the world's going to end soon. So like, well, I mean, you know, fingers crossed, I guess. I don't know where you stand on the world ending, but I guess you're for it because you work here. Sometimes it's not really like me to run my mouth, but sometimes I do it when I'm nervous. And I guess I just I want to do what I can to make it right by you, not running away this time, or at least giving you the chance to run away on me. So what say maybe dinner, and then we can talk about the mini golf?
Yeah, we can do that. That sounds nice.
Cool. Okay, Indica got in my brain. Now all I can think about is Thai food. How do you feel about Thai food?
Oh, I love Thai food.
Okay, great, because I know this place, they got a fantastic yellow curry. It's so good. So let's say, I don't know, maybe tonight?
Sounds good.
Cool.
See you then.
And then starts walking away and then walks back and goes, elevator.
Elevator.
Yep.
It's been a few weeks since Brian was revealed as the true herald of the irrevocable apocalypse, and you haven't seen him as much because he's been off training and gathering the final keys to the apocalypse. The office is buzzing. You know, it feels like this could actually happen. The end of everything, the void's hunger will finally be satiated. How's everyone feeling about that?
Bad.
Bad. Oh!
I've recently taken up getting kill dolls in the exact shape of Brian that I'm using to hurt him more and more. however, after the first week, they were like, well, someone's trying to cast a magic spell. The good guys are trying to kill him. So they gave him a bunch of magic items of protection. So now it doesn't matter how many dolls I crush. He's fine. And it's driving me. It's doing something really bad for my mental health.
Indica's also upset because Indica was like, well, if the apocalypse happens and we don't have jobs anymore. Mm. And I also want Brian back.
Aw.
Merrick is one of those people whose job is kind of their life. And as I just don't think that they've got much going on at home. Besides Bubbles, the dragon, like that's kind of who they come home to. And I think that in the last couple of weeks, I think they've been building some real connection with people, or it feels that way at least. And I think for the first time, Merrick is beginning to second guess whether they want that to end.
I think Sonya's also in a place, a little bit of worry, because up to this point, Sonya's mindset about working at a company that is trying to bring about the apocalypse is that this is the most secure job in the world. Because, like, have you seen these guys? The apocalypse is never going to happen.
Like, right. That's so funny.
Now, like, she also thought that, like, Dinger from accounting might never happen. And now that that's happening, there's another reason for the apocalypse to not happen. So I think she's a little of two minds about this right now.
It's later that week, and Elder Jasparga Levide has called you all into his office for a final brainstorming session. What can we do to help Brian is written on his whiteboard.
So since the, since Nidhogg's prophecy was announced, they haven't really needed scribes anymore. So, Buslara, rather than firing me, said I could help in other ways. What do you want to do to hopefully help Brian in this end of the universe?
Well, hey, that's great. I'm glad we can find a new use for your incredible skill set. That's a great question. What do you guys think?
Yeah, what happens after Brian wins again?
After Brian wins, he will use Pathforge to break open the seal to the void, which will then devour the labyrinth and thus the universe, ending everything inside.
So just for the sake of argument, there'll sort of be a moment between when Brian wins and when Pathforge destroys all things, where there'll probably be a little bit of vulnerability and Brian will need some extra protection during that time?
Very likely, yes.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
Hold on. If everything ends, what happens then? I was promised a pretty lucrative position, and I was under the impression that there would still be things around to rule over with an iron fist.
Who promised you that?
Doesn't matter.
You click on one of those scam links?
Yeah, I feel like I got
that. It's real. This time it's real, I promise.
Did you? We do send those emails periodically. It is a test.
How many has he clicked on?
Every single one of them. Whenever any chance to rule over anything happens.
There's like an ad that's like, universe is near you, need ruling. Click here.
It's why I don't have anything that connects to the digital realm, and I'm only allowed to write in grimoires now.
You lost computer access.
Well, if we're to believe what the scriptures say, the world and everything we know about it will end in nothingness. But to be fair, no one really knows because it hasn't happened before.
I mean, I guess that's fair.
Or has it happened before and we just don't know?
Oh, I like that one.
Good point, Sonya.
Fair.
That makes Elder Levide just give a real long pause to think about that.
Oh, he's still alive? Okay.
Are you okay? Nope, he's still here.
Yeah, this is the oldest man you've ever seen.
Sonya, I think it... Is this a good time to kind of bring in some of the equipment from the warehouse? Like maybe with the Warhammer of Gideon? I know he's already got a Warhammer, but maybe if we could let Holdivar see the war. I know you're not supposed to let it see you, but if we let Holdivar see the Warhammer of Gideon, maybe that would do something.
I don't know that we want to get the Warhammer of Gideon involved in this, but...
Is it that bad?
Whoa.
Yeah, one of the guys tripped and looked at it by accident. And they had to figure out how to do, like, a full, like, sort of skin transplant. Like, all of his skin sort of just disappeared.
Why didn't you put it in a box?
Listen, have you tried to reason with a malignant, sentient hammer?
No.
I have.
What about the demon engine of Elgarath or the void engine of Kildrain? Do you think either of those would be helpful?
Ooh, really good.
I also have this orb.
I like the Void Engine.
I think any of them could work. The Warhammer of Gideon, I don't want to involve in this, but the world's going to end anyway. So if my flesh gets taken off, it's not like I'm going to be around to enjoy it for that long.
So we should probably get the forklift too then, right?
Carry all of the... Well, Sonia, to be fair, it does actually make sense to carry all of the different Void Engines that you've been working on. We probably could use the forklift.
You know what? You're absolutely right, and I will use the forklift. Thank you, Indika.
Should I go get one of mine from home to help?
You know what? Actually, it might be a good idea for you to bring around all of the ones that you have at home, just in case we need backups, to just bring them all back to the office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go grab the forklifts. I'll be right back.
The moment he leaves, Sonia goes, oh, I might have gotten it. I might have done it this time.
I think he's got more at home than you would even know what to do with.
I know. I'm scared.
He's taken home one every day for the last 3 years.
I lost count.
Every day?
Every day.
Well, there was that one day where he took three home.
Yeah.
He took one home and then walked back and then took another and then walked back.
That was a dark day.
I'm just saying you're looking at a cold 900 forklifts.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, everybody. Are there any other ideas?
I mean, I got a shard of creation that I can just turn into a Gatling gun.
Oh, that's really interesting.
You've been bringing that to the office every day?
Do you just have that? We at least should get that registered. Mm. I know you're handling Void Engines every day, but like that feels like...
Oh, no,
we should
I'm
maybe
allowed.
Have that...
It's my emotional support shard.
All right.
Oh, I got it registered. Yeah. It has its own certification.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
I need it on this job.
All right. Yeah. Hey, look, you know, not my lane. Honestly, I think a lot of the things I can do are things that are more in the moment. So I am just happy to support in any way possible.
Wonderful.
If we need more backup, I have a bunch of, like, half-dead hybrids that I keep just in my house. If you want to just like have them, just like throw them. Yeah, I tried to. I had like over the pandemic, everyone was trying their own things, and I was like, I could become an alchemist, and so I started like fusing people with animals and different beasts from mythical realms.
Oh my God. Oh, are you talking about people?
Yeah, but
I thought you were. I thought you had a Prius.
I'm a man.
I have a Prius as well. But
I thought you were talking about Priuses. Have you been experimenting on people?
Well, I bought the Prius so I could disassemble the Prius and attach them to the people to see if I could get like a kind of mechanized soldier.
There's one half human, half Prius that Bartholomew has.
I actually invented the Transformers. You know Transformers? That was me. I did that.
You made a transformer.
It's just, a bunch of just kind of attached a Prius to a guy that he could turn into the car, but only once because that kills him instantly.
No, Prius Prime. You were the one.
Prius Prime. That's so funny.
Oh my God, Prius Prime.
It was a dark day when Prius Prime died.
All right, great. So we've got some Prius people who may or may not be dead. We've got a shard that can turn into a Gatling gun, and we maybe have the Warhammer of Gideon.
And then Indika walks in and 10,000 forklifts.
And 10,000 forklifts. That's a lot of forklifts. Wow.
I've been working here a long time.
Sometimes I forget I'm the newest person here.
I had to fill out the paperwork for every single one of those.
At that moment, an alarm rings throughout the entire office.
Everyone to your stations. Everyone to your stations. The final fight has begun. The final fight has begun. Please get to your stations. Thank you.
Elder Levied looks at all of you and says, well, I guess it's time.
And as he leaves, he turns back to you and says,
in nothingness, everyone.
And he steps out the door.
Well, hey, we'll be right there, okay?
As the elder leaves, Bartholomew walks up and then shuts the door, and there's like a small click of a lock as Bartholomew turns to the other three. Hey, so the fact that the apocalypse is destroying the universe and there'll be nothing to rule over is deeply messed up, right? Did anyone else have a different idea of what was happening?
Thank God you said something. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I just really didn't think this company had it in it to actually go through with the apocalypse.
Yeah. I agree. I fully agree.
I kind of just thought everybody was gonna dick around forever.
It all felt really far away, and now it feels all really right now, and I feel like mm-hmm. I just made three friends, and that's never happened before, so I just...
Oh, nice. Who are they?
Yeah.
And you guys.
Right, well, that's not important, but yeah, I just made these three really cool friends, and I might not be super excited to just end everything right now. Also, I gotta get home and feed Bubbles. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah, those out-of-work relationships are very important.
Yeah.
The apocalypse is sort of a bad time to, like, sort of get into a sort of a relationship as well. Just for anybody who's starting new relationships.
Oh, did things go well with Dendra?
Oh, I was just sort of speaking generally.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So we're all on the same page that we don't really know how we're feeling about this.
No, we shouldn't do this. I don't want that. This is we're all a family. If the apocalypse happens, there's no more family.
Okay, but what? But we can't make Brian lose. If we throw it, they'll know, and we'll all get fired. And I don't think we'll get fired in the new way that I fire people.
I still want to be so clear. I want the apocalypse to happen. I want Brian to die very painfully as well. I hate that guy.
Okay, but we do have to help Brian win. If we don't help Brian win, they're going to fire us, literally.
What if we help Brian win? We don't kill Brian, but make him my assistant forever. And you get a promotion.
Love a promotion. That's really good for me.
Well, hey, I think step one... start the apocalypse. Step two, try to end the apocalypse without getting caught.
Yeah.
Okay.
End the apocalypse peacefully.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. All right. Hands in the middle.
And we can do it on our own terms.
Own terms. Yeah. Hands in the middle. All right. Sonia, lead us in the company cheer.
You know it, Sonia. You love it.
You know it.
Sonia, you know the company cheer.
All right. Chanch on three.
Not go voice.
The great chanch on three. One, two, three.
The great chanch.
You all make your way to your workstations, having decided to start and end the apocalypse at the same moment to keep living your lives and not tell anybody. You all get back to your spaces. Bartholomew, you have been given a new computer for this event.
Oh no.
Don't click the links.
Wow.
Every single screen in the office shows the same thing. In front of a massive golden seal float two figures. One is Holdivar, Queen of the Labyrinth, her blue and yellow robes billowing in the wind, and in one hand she holds her sword Spellbinder, and in the other she holds a familiar book, The Grimoire of the Eldest. The other figure is Brian Andrenal, both hands clasping Pathforge. He doesn't look too much different now than he did in the office. You know, his skin-tight black jeans, his mesh fingerless gloves, and his straightened bangs still cover one eye. You hear Holdivar speak.
Harold, I will do everything in my power to prevent you from breaking the seal and releasing the void into the labyrinth.
And Brian spins Pathforge in his hands like a lacrosse stick.
You can certainly try.
As he rushes towards Holdivar, and the final battle begins. Everyone roll initiative.
Nice one, Brian.
Need him to die deeply.
7.
I got a 7 as well. Oh my God.
Nice.
15.
21.
In the Ken Bartholomew, you have a shared desk. Like, they're sharing
That cute. Works great. So how this fight is going to work is the first part is we're just throwing distances out the window. If you've got a spell or an ability that has a range on it, it does not matter unless it says self, which you can't
cast it on someone else. Second, Brian and Holdovar are going to kind of act like a Megazord or a Gundam that the four of you all have direct influence over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the heroes have direct influence, can, you know, vice versa. They will always hit, and they have a base amount of damage that they will deal that your actions can affect, whether they're spells, whether it's you attacking, giving them stuff. For example, you can't directly attack Holdovar, but if you attack, you would boost Brian's damage by that same amount.
Mm.
Additionally, Holdovar also has a corporate headquarters behind her that will be trying to aid her, and you can attack them directly using your spells and abilities and such, which could maybe weaken them a little bit.
Do we see their corporate headquarters? Like, do we have any communication with them?
Abstractly.
Okay.
Love that.
And lastly, Brian and Holdovar's turns will always come at the end of the round to allow for all of you to affect them before they make their attack.
Cool.
And with that, let's start the apocalypse. Round one, even before Sonya's 21, every computer in the office glitches, and on them appears the lead agent from the Dix inspection.
Oh.
They say, as they push up their glasses, you all seem a little shocked. Sorry about the deception, but I really appreciate you giving us full access to your offices. Ta-ta! And I need you all to make dexterity saving throws as a bolt of lightning shoots out from your computers.
Ooh. This is loser behavior. 15.
Oh, no. That is 4.
Okay.
God. 18.
21.
Ooh.
Great. Everyone, 13 or above, you saved and you take half damage, which is only 5. Merrick, you take 11 lightning damage.
Oh, that's half my health, basically.
Yeah, if I took 11 damage, I would almost be dead. I have a right. 1 constitution. I'm an office worker.
Ooh, Merrick, you look bad. Is the disease acting up today?
I forgot.
I don't. I mean, I still have allergies, but I just got electrocuted. God.
Okay, well, you have to go home early. Don't worry. We can cover you.
Not today. It's the apocalypse.
So first up now, Sonya.
I have my Shard of Creation that I have turned into just sort of an automatic weapon of some kind. I've looked and, okay, like, it can own, like, the total value of the object can't be more than 20 times my mechanist level. So it's 80 gold or less.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really shitty automatic crossbow. Like, it, okay, like it has like this wheel that's like, and I've given it the loading property, so it never runs out of arrows.
Great. So just kind of how I envision this abstract fight is that you can just send that to Brian.
Cool. Mm.
As a way, and then so like that's just now something that Brian has to boost his damage when he attacks.
Great. I send him my Shard of Creation. And I'm like, I might need this later. and then I sigh and make my way towards the Warhammer of Gideon.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Go get it, Sonya.
I'm into it.
We need this.
Next up is Merrick.
Okay. Starting off strong. Merrick slaps a suitcase down on their desk, opens it up, and an arsenal of parlor magic tricks comes pouring out. and they start putting pieces together, and I think they open up the thing and doves fly out is what happens.
Not a seagull?
Oh, you're so right. Yeah, Merrick opens up their briefcase and seagulls fly out as the magic trick begins, and they start up their bardic performance. So... Ooh. With that, I think actually I will use Celebrate Life, which means that allies can expend their hit die to recover HP plus 4, and allies will also have advantage on death saves as long as I keep this up. And while I'm at it, I'm also going to give a Bardic Inspiration, so a plus a d6 to Brian.
Cool.
Ooh, great. As you are doing that, everyone starts to, all four of you start to feel a little lethargic. And I need you all to make a charisma saving throw.
No, I feel fine.
Okay.
I
actually
rule at charisma saving throws. It's perfect.
Nat 20.
Whoa.
I got a 16, but if I fail a charisma saving throw, I can re-roll it once. So I do need to know if I failed it. Okay.
You're good.
I rolled a 16.
You're also good.
Wow.
I rolled a 17.
Whoa.
Okay. Wow. Y'all all pass. This lethargy that starts to come over you, the Dix agents just tried to cast Bane on all of you, but you all passed your saves.
Not today.
So it does not affect you.
Everyone take their energy eggs right now.
That's a really good idea. It's really gross, but okay. Energy eggs?
God, who put this egg in my pocket?
They're boiled seagull eggs. Come on.
They're boiled seagull eggs?
Ew.
Where did you get these? God, Indica.
Down at the seagull store. Come on.
As you're all overcoming that feeling on the screens in front of you, you see Holdivar just start to glow a little bit. And next up is Indica.
I'm going to cast Bless.
Okay.
Level 1 Bless, I can use it on 3 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Level 2, I can use it on 4. So could I bless Sonia, Merrick, Bartholomew, and Brian?
Yeah, if you cast it at second level. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Doing it at second level.
Nice.
And you get you can add a d4 to either an attack roll or a save.
Ooh.
And Indica takes out like a vial and like you hear like screeching and like horrific hellish sounds from the vial. Pours out some of the liquid in it and just like kind of flicks it on you like it's holy water.
God.
No, let me bless you. Stop moving. Let me bless
you. Does it have to go in your eyes? God.
Yes, it has to go in your eyes, actually. Open your eyes. Open. Sonia, open your eyes.
I got some in my mouth.
Yeah, that's my mom's sweat.
Oh, it's horrible. I know, so salty.
I can sense her through it. It's good.
I can sense her through it.
Anything else?
Nope, that's all I got.
Amazing. Bartholomew, you are next.
Cool.
I get out my phone and I send a text to one of my many minions who is going to charge into the HQ and try to kill the closest person. I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast, but that's how my Eldritch Blast manifests.
That's so funny.
That's really good.
And through Eldritch Text Blast?
Yeah, through one of my freaks trying to kill someone.
Go ahead and roll an attack throw. If you can believe it, Dick's agents are not too powerful.
Oh, that's a nat 20, baby. Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know.
Don't even need the bless.
How do crits work in Tails?
Roll double the die that you're rolling, double the damage die, and then add your modifier to it.
Okay. This is a cantrip, so I don't have one of them. But that's okay. I did 15 points of damage. I rolled a 7 and an 8 on my 2d10s.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, your transformer crashes through the front door of the Keepers of the Keys headquarters and just screams erupt as one of their goblins just squishes against a wall.
Nice. Yeah. Good.
Speaking of Tales of the Valiant rules differences, since I failed that save a while back, do I get a luck point for that?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh my god, yeah.
Whenever you fail an attack roll or a saving throw, you get one luck up to 5. And basically what you can use luck points for is you can use them 1-for-1 to increase an attack roll or a saving throw to hopefully succeed later. Last in the round, our camera zooms in on Holdivar and Brian as they go in for their attacks. Holdivar gets ready to swing Spellbinder. Brian's got Pathforge ready to go. Clang. They clang together a couple times. Smack. But Brian just has a little bit more oomph from that crossbow bolt from Sonia and gets one big hit right across Holdivar's face.
Yeah. All right, Brian!
Sure. Nice, Brian. Good job, pal.
Good work.
Back to the top of the round. You all start hearing retching coming from various parts of the office as a noxious cloud seeps out of the air vents. And I need everyone to give me a constitution saving throw.
They really want us dead, huh?
Yeah. The energy eggs? What's going on?
Oh, God, I am rolling so well today. This is nonsense. 16.
16.
13.
4.
4.
It'd be a 14 with a luck point, Sonya.
Oh, yeah.
It's a DC 12.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're level 3. These are not super hard.
Okay.
But if you rolled a 12 or above, you pass. But if you rolled less than that, you are now poisoned. So Indica, which means you have disadvantage on attack throws.
I'll be all right. Don't worry. I'm okay.
I have a brief question.
Yes.
I killed one of the goblins in the HQ, right?
Yes.
Cool. Because my subclass is Reaper. Whenever I kill something, I gain health.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, go for it. Go take a whatever the ability allows you to do.
Yeah, it's 6 temporary HP I gain whenever I kill something. Yeah. So it doesn't stack. Yeah. But, hey, listen, we're getting hit pretty hard.
Also, if at the way that my bardic performance works with these seagulls is that every time one of y'all's turn starts, this is, I think, a free action. You can basically gain HP equal to 1 hit die plus 4, but you just have to expend that hit die.
Oh, cool. Okay. Huge.
So if people need health, they can do it that way.
Yeah, you all have a seagull has now just flown to where you are.
Landed
on the screen.
On your shoulder.
There's just a seagull and a crossbow floating behind Brian.
Great. Perfect.
Do I get a luck point for failing this?
Yep. You get a luck point. And you are poisoned, which means you have disadvantage, which means you roll 2d20 and take the lower on attack rolls and ability checks. So that brings us back to the top, the next top of initiative, which is Sonya.
I'm running through the warehouse. I know where the Warhammer of Gideon usually is, although it likes to move. It's sort of like a, whenever it's coming by, we all just hide.
Does it float around or does it teleport?
I think it sort of just like dramatically hangs in the air, unmoving. And then like you watch it sort of glow for a second and then it like rockets to another place in like a little teleporty.
Mm-hmm. Give me a luck check to see how to see if you're able to find it.
That's just straight. That's just nothing.
That's just like a D20. Nothing. Yeah. Give 13 or higher.
You sure I can't like investigate to see where it is?
Okay. If you
that's fair.
Yeah. Tell me what pattern in the Warhammer's movements can you use to hopefully try to find it easier?
Well, we actually decided that enough was enough one day, that we shouldn't just sort of randomly hide. And that day was after Randy got skinned fully. Right. So one of the guys had a brother who's a software engineer, was able to come up with a little sort of algorithm that was able to trace where it would go, and we all memorized it. So I know the places it likes to hang out the most.
Great. Yep, give me an investigation check.
Hey, Max here. Do you know someone that plays TTRPGs but don't know what to get them for the holidays? Why not get them a Hero Forge gift card? Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. But they don't just do minis. Hero Forge also has custom 3D printed dice and keychains. Available at heroforge.com, their digital gift cards are super easy to use and can be sent instantly via email. So check out heroforge.com today for some awesome gifts for that TTRPG enthusiast in your life. Some restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
I rolled, well, it was a 15 luck check, but with investigation, it's a 21.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you...
Pretty good.
You find the Warhammer. It's not currently looking at you.
I picture it as like it floats with its side facing out. Like it's sort of like that one of those double-ended, like double-hammered Warhammers mm-hmm. with the eye just in the middle. And it's sort of like this, like almost yellowed, like if eyes could have gout.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible.
Like it is horrible to look at. And it's horrible to get looked at. By it.
Yeah. Great.
What are you doing with it?
I gotta make a deal with it. I gotta
deal with it.
What do you need?
Listen, I know there's nothing more you like than taking the skin off of some folks.
I do. That's right.
I know where there's a whole bunch of people that just would not be ready for you to look at them.
If a Warhammer had lips, it would lick them.
Ew!
It just blinks gross. Weird.
Yeah.
You hear the sound of...
It like closes its eyelids and then a tongue comes out of the eyelids and kind of wipes it and then it opens its eyelids and it's an eye again.
That's horrible.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of some boys called dicks?
God.
I have not.
You want to go? You want to go look at some dicks?
Yes.
Great.
Tell me where to go.
I tell the Warhammer of Gideon where all of the dick boys are hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah. As soon as you give it the directions, it out of existence. And with this kind of, you know, abstract distance thing you've got, you just start hearing screams upon screams. From the Keepers of the Keys headquarters.
Huge.
Great.
And I gotta roll some dexterity saves that I certainly did not pre-roll.
What's the effect of the eye? What does it do, specifically?
It takes your skin off.
Hell yeah.
Mechanically, a lot of damage.
No, mechanically, I love it. The words under the description is it takes your skin.
I was gonna say, I think, weirdly, like, not to get too deep into the semantics of all of this, but... It skins you and it takes your skin are two different things.
Two different things.
That's very fair.
That's true.
Which one is it?
It takes your skin.
It takes your skin.
That's horrible.
The worst thing is, it keeps it.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
To make more eyes.
You hear so many screams. A lot of people failed
there. Good.
I'm
doing this to save the world.
Oh God!
There aren't as many employees over there as there once was.
Wow.
Next, in that kind of void, it seems like the heroes are a little distracted as the Warhammer of Gideon has infiltrated their warehouse, so you don't notice them doing anything. Next up is Merrick.
All right. I'll keep up my bardic performance, and I'll also throw another bardic inspiration to Brian. That's like kind of a combined bonus action that I can do both of those at once.
Cool.
I will also cast Ray of Enfeeblement on... Can I cast that sort of via Brian on Holdovar?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay. So I think I just charge up like a little area of Brian, like a little... area on the top of Brian's forehead lights up and just like a beam shoots out of it at Holdovar.
Yeah, what's the save or what's the...
It, I believe it is a spell attack, but let me just double check. Does a 14 hit?
The Ray of Enfeeblement blasts out of Brian's forehead and sails on past into the darkness of space.
Darn it! Ah, shoot, I'll get it next time. I'm just not used to this mech fight stuff. All right, that's okay. Hey, everybody keep going. Y'all are doing a great job.
Next is Indica, who is poisoned.
Yeah, Indica's like coughing. I'm okay, don't worry.
Oh, God.
And I'm rolling at... I think I may have caught what Merrick has. So sorry.
Allergies?
Okay, so Indica is going to be like... Oh, I got... I'm going to give you a big boost, Derek. And then, like, takes out, like, a little justice, like, pendulum type thing. And is just like, here, just kiss this. You just have to kiss this.
Fully, like, I'm working. And then hits it away.
Yeah, smacks out of my hand, hits me in the face. I kiss it. And then I cast pendulum on myself.
That's so fun.
So I have to... make a wisdom save, which I will intentionally fail. And on that failure, so I don't make d20 checks anymore to determine results of attack rolls, ability checks, or saves for the duration of the spell. Instead, when I would make a check, it results in the following sequence. Nat 1, then nat 20, then 2, then 19, and so on.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And... I repeat the save at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on a success.
Amazing.
If all results of the D20 are exhausted, the spell also ends.
Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, so at the end of your turn, do you have anything else?
No, that's all I got for now.
So now I guess at the end of your turn, you have to make a save for the poison condition.
Yeah.
And you roll a nat 1 and fail, but it doesn't really matter because you're just going to get a nat 20 on your next one.
Next thing. Yeah.
Indica's like coughing like, shit, Derek, what the hell? Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I think you would technically also get another luck point because you failed to save.
Oh, that's so
Heck
fun.
Yeah.
Bartholomew, you are up.
Looks at Indica being poisoned, hacking up a lung, and now clearly deeply cursed. Bartholomew is going to turn back to the computer. This is why I wanted to rule everything. I'm surrounded by idiots. And in saying that, Bartholomew clicks enter, sends a spam email to the other HQ. I want to make it as stupid as possible. I'm thinking it's that old YouTube video of the monkey peeing in its own mouth I send on every single screen on the other HQ as I cast hideous laughter on all of them.
It's horrible. Jeez.
That's tough.
What do they have to do?
They need to make a DC 15, I want to say wisdom.
Wisdom sounds right.
Yeah, so as you send this video of a monkey peeing into its own mouth to the entirety of Keeper's HQ, you notice many of them just kind of look at their computers and go, "Nah, I've seen this." But a couple people do start laughing.
Good. That's it. That's me.
With some of the Dix goblins laughing, Holdivar and Brian head back into combat. Holdivar kind of deeks out to one side, jukes back in, and goes to swipe at Brian, but a crossbow comes back and hits her right in the hand. But as that crossbow hits her right in the hand, crossbow bolt, a blast of starfire reacts to it. And so Casey.
Yeah.
Sonya takes 4 damage from a divine rebuke.
I need you to know that I am at 36 out of 40 health.
Oh, that's not bad.
I'm nice. Good beefy. Good.
Yeah, you have double my health, I think.
Feeling great.
And after that light flashes and you take that little bit of damage, Brian gets another clock right back into the back of Holdivar, and she's not looking good.
Woo!
This is going surprisingly well for us. I thought we might just lose it on the fight, honestly.
Yeah.
back to the top of the round, on all of your computers pops up a really intensive multi-factor verification prompt, and I need everyone to give me an intelligence check.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oof. Which I believe Indica gets a nat 20 on.
A check or a save?
Check. Because you are seeing how fast you could get through all of these, like, checks of, you know, clicking on the images and seeing the weird letters.
How many stoplights are in this? Merrick is fully colorblind and gets a 3.
Great. Okay.
Love that. From putting so many viruses onto the computer, I'm adept at this and I got a nat 20.
Wow.
Well, you and Indica here getting nat 20s.
Yeah, we're double teaming the thing, the click, yeah. Clicking.
I mean, I got a 23, but this is the two nat 20s is the way to go.
So, the rolls you just made basically have informed how quickly you've solved this multi-factor verification prompt. So that will change the order of initiative based on how quickly you were able to do it.
Whoa, okay.
So with nat 20s, and as we discussed before, better dex, Indica, you're now up first.
God damn.
Wow.
Your next roll is a 2.
Shut up. Hey, Brian, checking in. How you doing in there, big guy?
Honestly, this is going way better than I expected.
Okay, cool.
She's kind of a chump.
If we win, how locked in are you on saving the world or creating an apocalypse? That's the word. That's the thing we're doing. And can I cast Zone of Truth on Brian?
As your turn?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's good. That's good and smart because that circumnavigates the 2.
Yep.
Yeah, so Brian is aware that you've cast a spell, and as your friend, and possibly you being his best friend, is going to fail the save automatically. So he cannot lie to you in this moment. And he says,
you know, I haven't really given it that much thought to this point. It's honestly, I don't know. It seems kind of like a bummer to just kind of end everything. But
yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm poisoned.
are you okay, dude?
No, I think I got what Merrick has, but I'll be all right.
Ew, God, that sucks.
I told you it was allergies.
That's a stay away. Yeah, God. Okay.
Well, yeah, maybe consider not doing it. I think maybe Derek wants to switch places with you. Maybe you can come back being my assistant. And he can have the hammer, and then he can.
Derek wants to be the herald.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's funny too. Derek, that guy's an idiot.
What a schmuck.
I am sat right next to you, by the way. I just want you
to
know
that. That's great.
That's
cool. I know.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Brian, I miss you. Kick some butt out there, big guy.
Thanks, bud. I'll do my best.
Love you. Talk to you later.
Love you.
At the end of your turn again, you make a save for the poison, which you fail.
Should I have done something to then get rid of the poison?
You could.
I'm wondering. I'm also trying to math because, okay, you didn't do a thing, so the poison's going to fail. So then the next thing that's going to happen is a success, which I think is then it's going to be the group AoE that you're going to succeed. So then it makes the next attack you do is going to be a fail. Accidentally...
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I see what
off
I've done.
The groove.
So in response, I think Bart is going to get really pissed that you're dissing him during this, and I'm going to cast something.
Your little PvP.
That's you have like a free shot on me too.
yeah. Looking at like the goblins and their reaction, and they're like kind of half not really caring about it reaction. Bartholomew is gonna angrily reopen the email. They didn't find it funny, but you will, you stupid ass, and then send it to Indica. Pops up on your screen of this monkey peeing in its own mouth. You failed, so you bust. You bust.
No,
I save.
Oh, you succeed. You succeed. Yeah. So it also doesn't work.
Yeah, what's your reaction to seeing this monkey pee in its own mouth?
Who's Bartholomew and why are they sending me an email with a monkey peeing in the mouth? This is, I'm just going to block this email. This is weird. Block.
Stupid idiot. Stupid idiot. I'm going to need another Toyota Corolla to run into the spot. Another one of my minions hears it and begins running. Next turn, my Toyota Corolla is going to kill another goblin.
Amazing.
It's so silly. It's so
you just hear revving in the background.
Revving in the background, yeah.
It's just revving and screams. Next up is Sonia.
Oh, God. So I've accomplished my two goals.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to see what else I can do. And all of my abilities take a minute to an hour to perform. So I don't know what to do. I guess I can, listen, I can always go back to the drawing board and try to convince another one of our horrible magic items to join the war.
Go for it.
I guess I will try. Okay, so the other two items that I mentioned before were the occult engine of Kilcannon and the demon engine of Osgarath?
No, it was the demon engine of Elgarath, I believe, mm-hmm. and it was the void engine of Kildrain.
Cool. Both engines, I guess. So they're probably just sitting right next to each other.
Yeah, there's in the E section of the warehouse.
Yeah. I picture them as, like, horrible, like, car engines, like an engine block just sitting on a shelf, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. one has, like, a bull, like, a full bull's head, like, jutting out, and then the other one has wings and floats and, like, has rings around it as if it were, like, a Sephirim engine.
Oh, cool. Love that. That's cool as hell.
These are just sort of horrible to look at. So I am going to make my way to them, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. So
we'll find out together.
Cool. I will approach them and be like, well, look who it is. The two great engines of mass destruction and mayhem.
Well, well, well. Look who decided to walk into our section.
Yeah, listen. I need a favor.
Okay.
There's a great sort of cataclysmic cosmic war happening outside, and we kind of need to win this one. And your motivation in this is that the people that we're fighting, they seek to destroy all sort of Armageddon affiliated instruments, of which you both number among. What if we used y'all in the fight in order to ensure your survival and our survival, and maybe bring about the end of the world?
I'm in.
Great.
Get me in a Toyota Corolla.
Friend, I know just the person.
Hell yeah. This is great. This is good.
I know just the fucked up Dr. Frankenstein.
This lines up very well with what my next turn was going to be. So this is good for
me. That's so good.
I take an engine block under both arms and go, nope, nope. Okay. And I go grab a forklift.
Amazing. Yeah, you get the forklift and lift both of those engines, bringing them up to Bartholomew.
Perfect.
Making my way to the lack of freight elevator. I don't know how I'm going to get up
there. Stairs in a forklift carrying two heavy engines.
You never let me do that. What the hell?
I think you got to have a special certification for that.
You said no forklift on the stairs, Sonia.
Special circumstances. Dicks, look the other way.
Never thought I'd hear her say that. That's wild. It really is the end of the world.
Yeah, Merrick, you are up next as you hear this thumping from the base of the warehouse that is
Sonya, you good down there? You need help?
I'm good. I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm... Oh, I'm good.
Dendra, what are you doing? Can you help Sonya out?
Yeah. She goes down and hops... Has to time her jump really well to hop into the forklift with you. It's a two-seater.
Damn, that was good. Well-timed.
So are you.
Well, I think just her presence... I'm going up the stairs twice as fast.
I will continue to use my bardic performance. So again, if anyone needs to heal, I can't use it. But if anyone else needs to heal at the start of their turns, they can. I think I'm going to hold off on the bardic for right now, inspiration, because I've only got one more left. And I am going to start furiously typing some, like, really boring employee handbook legalese sort of stuff into the thing and be like, do you accept all of the terms and conditions of this? But really make people, like, create a thing where you have to actually scroll through and read all of it before you can click accept.
That is true
evil.
And
send it to the opposing HQ and cast sleep.
Nice.
Yeah.
As they just see that hereby, like, the undersigned agrees to review all terms and conditions, and there's this, like, slow scrolling screen. And you can't go over to another window. It's just a slow scroll.
I think it just happens. Go ahead and roll.
Yes. Okay, so sleep sends creatures into a magical slumber. Rolling 8d8, the result is how many HP of creatures this can affect. It starts with ascending order of HP. So basically the person with the lowest number of HP goes first, and then it goes from there, ignoring unconscious creatures.
Great.
All right. 37 HP.
Whoa.
Yeah. The noises from the Keeper's headquarters start to get a little quieter. As some of their employees, strangely at the middle of the most important moment of their lives, drift off into a nice slumber. But you didn't quite get all of the employees. So you're going to once again see Holdivar glow, and she starts moving real fast as she goes to attack Brian and gets a big swipe right along his chest as she is hastened from the spell and gets her blow in against him for the first time. She hits hard. They are both looking rough. The top of the order, you all kind of start to hear water rushing from everywhere as a surge of water races through the HQ, and you all need to make a strength saving throw as a tsunami floods the headquarters.
Who's doing this to us?
Oh, this is going to be really bad for the electronics.
Out of all the toilets,
no.
Water is just a geyser.
Y'all, this is so bad.
You all have Bless, by the way. You can add a D4 to this roll if you need.
That might change everything, actually.
And if you have any luck points, you can use them as well.
Oh, that might change everything. I have a 16.
Okay.
That Bless coming in mighty fine.
I don't even think it'll help. With Bless being a 4, I rolled a 6.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Merrick's rolling so bad.
Mine's a 5 on the die, so the Bless brings it up to 8.
Indica, is this a pass or a fail for you?
I fail. It's a nat 3.
Ugh, God. Yeah.
Bartholomew is the only one to pass. As you are all swept up in this tidal wave, everyone but Bartholomew takes 10 damage.
All right.
Yeah, Merrick is looking really hurt, but just continuing to pull gulls out of their suitcase like nothing is wrong.
And now we're back up to the top. Indica, it is your turn.
Yeah, I'll lay on hands, Merrick.
Oh, thank you.
What is lay on hands?
Your blessed touch can heal wounds. You have a pool of healing power that replenishes when you take a long rest. With that pool, you can restore a total number of hit points equal to 5 times your paladin level.
Ooh.
How much you giving Mare Bear over there?
That's plus 20 health to you, friend.
Wow, hold on. Oh. That might actually be more than I can take. So let's see what my max HP is. Okay, that puts me 1 under full, so that's great. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow, Indica, that was so helpful. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem.
Oh my god, are you okay?
No, I've been saying that for like an hour now.
I don't think I can help you is the problem. I don't think I have anything that can help. Do you want a bird?
No, I know. I know HR can never help. That's what you guys do. That's what's great about you.
Oh, wait, hold on. Do we need to talk about this?
Did I say something wrong?
Are you being sincere?
Absolutely, yeah.
Merrick looks so crestfallen as they hear that their job doesn't help anyone.
Does that go to the end of your turn?
Yeah, and then I pass the poison check.
You pass the poison check.
Wow, telling Merrick how I feel about HR really just solved everything, I feel like. That was...
that was weighing me down, actually. That's a big... Yeah. That's a load of my chest.
Was it poison or just my conscience? Oh, my God.
This feels really bad. Is this how you were feeling?
Which means we're now on to Bartholomew.
Standing on the table, because I'm imagining it's a little flooded still.
Yes.
I want to run over to the engine.
Uh-huh.
There's people in this office that I don't care about. I just kind of want to kick one of them into the engine, make a weird freak, see how quickly I can make one of my weird pandemic freaks.
This is wild.
Yeah, go ahead. There's going to be, I think, a couple checks here. The first one will be however you think you get someone into the engine. Like, whatever ability or skill you think that that's going to be.
Can I have it be intimidation?
Absolutely, yes. You look around and you see a small family of dwarves that you have hated for as long as you can remember. They're the Putz family.
Putz, quit what you're doing. Come here.
They all assemble. You can make them a Megazord. You can make a Putz Megazord.
A Putz-themed Megazord. Look at this engine. This engine needs your attention right now. The only way to bring the apocalypse, to make sure the apocalypse happens, is to look real close at this engine. And then when they all look, I'm going to push them all in.
Oh,
make a intimidate
my God.
Check.
That's a 24. Really good intimidation.
The entirety of the Putz family, and also some of their ancestors and people who have not been born yet,
yeah,
get sucked into,
yes,
the demon engine of Elgarath.
Feed.
And then give me, I don't know, an intelligence check to work your magic to make this into a Toyota Corolla.
That's a nat 20, baby. That's a nat 20, baby.
This is a Megazord.
This is a Megazord. I do exactly what the soul engine desires, and I make a weird Toyota Corolla soul engine Megazord.
Yeah, you have multiple Toyota Corollas come together to make this, like, bipedal humanoid full of the Putz family. And
this is horrible.
Because Sonya's like, oh god.
Who then pops out of existence and then pops back into existence at the Keeper's headquarters, taking a couple floors with it, and as it is larger than the space that it came into, and just starts swinging around, absolutely destroying their headquarters. There's like one guy left over there.
And he's got bigger fish to fry than to
fucking He's got more to worry about. Next up is Sonya, who just watched the Putz Megazord blip out of existence.
That's what you asked me to do, right? That's what you wanted me to do? I did it. I did it because you asked me to.
Sonya's got so much blood on her hands now.
Did it because you asked me to.
Sonya, like, shakily pulls out a flask. The Putz family is on me. Great. So I turn to the engine of Kildrain. I'm like, do you want to be a car guy too? Like, what do you want?
You want to be a car guy
too? Well, I would love to be part of a big old car engine.
Ooh, okay.
Great.
Rev me up.
Ew.
Great. I'm going to... I call back my Shard of Creation from Brian, and I'm going to turn it into, like... Because it can't be big, so it's going to be medium-sized. I turn it into, like, one of those, like, Fisher-Price, like, Flintstone cars.
Sure.
Yeah.
And load the engine into the back, thereby motorizing it. And I'm like, what can you do with this?
Oh, I can do a lot.
And he kind of, like, putters away out through the main entrance.
With his, there's with the little
power
wheels
to teleport. Yeah.
God. Okay.
And on the after the doors close, on the screen, you've seen it's grown a little bit in size, and Brian is sitting in this little Fisher Price car, ready to charge at Holdavar.
Great. That's all I got.
Merrick, you're up next.
Great. I guess, does it seem like it would be more helpful to mess with the HQ on the other side or to mess with the Zord?
The Zord. After we've gotten the Putz Megazord in the HQ, there's not a whole lot
great
going on over there.
Okay, I'm going to send the orb that I stole a long time ago to Brian and say, hey, man, just let this hit the ground. I don't know what it does. So I'll send that, and then if I can do that as a bonus action or an object interaction, I will then use my action to cast Shatter underneath Holdavar.
Oh, love.
Yeah, so there's basically, like, it releases this big, like, boom, ringing noise, and it's a con save.
What does she have to get?
It is a DC 14.
This explosion happens underneath Holdavar, and it hits her, but it doesn't quite, you know, it doesn't take full purchase.
Shoot. Okay, well, it's only 3d8. It's probably not going to do that much. That's 14 damage.
Hey, that's something. Next up is Brian from this Fisher-Price car. He revs the engine of Kildrain and charges towards Holdavar, who flourishes her sword as she charges back. The two meet in a blinding explosion of energy. Still blinded, you hear the clanking of metal on metal through your monitors and then a scream of anguish. You regain your sight and see Brian standing over Holdavar, swinging Pathforge down on her. As it connects, her body starts to turn inside out and almost glitch as the labyrinth tries to create a pathway to something already inside the labyrinth, until it cannot do that anymore, and she blips from existence.
Huge. Huge.
Nice.
In this moment, Brian turns to the seal holding back the void and raises Pathforge to strike at it. What do you do?
Hold on there, Jethro.
Hey, Brian, Sonya wants to say something to you really quick. Hey, Sonya, you're on the god mic.
This is cool, being on the god mic. What if, listen, I know we all sort of hyped up the apocalypse. What if we sort of overhyped it? Like, you really think you're going to get smut on the other side of this?
Is there, like, anything else that he likes, or is he just completely smut motivated?
Yeah,
he's completely smut motivated. I hate him.
Yeah, I think he's,
I hate him
is
so
there
deeply.
Like a snack or something? Like, is there? Do you have people at home? Like, is it just?
He has no family.
Is it just the books?
It's just the books.
Wait, but Indica, you guys are friends. You should try to talk him down.
Yeah, here, Brian.
Passes you.
You're. Hey, Brian. It's Indica. you're kind of the strongest being in the universe right now. I think stronger than my mom. Sorry, mom. You're kind of the boss. So you can do whatever you want.
Whatever I want.
Within reason.
You could maybe promote Bartholomew and do a new type of apocalypse where, and like all of us too can get promoted too, who's to say, but you can make maybe a new apocalypse where like we do end most of the universe, but we just keep a little part of it for us. Maybe make a universe for Bartholomew to rule over.
Yes.
Merrick can, I don't know, be healthy somewhere. And Sonia, I think Sonia wants to date someone.
What? Who said that?
Unclear who. No. Do you remember Dendra, Brian? I think Sonia.
She was my neighbor. She was my desk neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Did she ever talk about Sonia, by the way?
Would not shut up.
Whoa.
Wait, really? Huh.
And ultimately, Brian, my last pitch. Remember the seagull. What does the seagull mean? The seagull is your dreams, and it's beautiful when you're chasing it. Because when you chase the seagull, that is your dreams, like the beauty of your dreams. But once you catch the seagull and it's dead and cold in your hands, you realize that this thing isn't what you wanted. It's a new seagull. So think about it this way. If we do the apocalypse, we're going to be so sad because we finally killed the seagull.
Wow, that's really deep.
Sonia claps. Is that what the seagull's about?
Yeah, Merrick joins. That's great. That's so good.
That was about a live seagull. It was just kind of cool and hanging out in the middle of the room, but whatever.
On all of your screens, you see Brian teleport away from the seal holding back the void and appear in the office with you.
Is this what everybody wants? Does nobody really want the apocalypse anymore? Is this what you're feeling, everybody?
I mean, I look over at Baslara.
She is not in this part of the office. He's asking the general employee populace.
Well, if it comes down to a vote, I just killed like 7 of them. So I think we have the majority.
Yeah, the Putzes were pro-apocalypse.
Very pro-apocalypse. Mm.
Very pro-apocalypse.
Bad people.
Yeah, I just think if we kind of have the apocalypse, there's sort of nothing to do tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
Derek wants to do it himself or something. I don't know, Derek. What do you want?
I want to do it myself. I still want the apocalypse to happen. It's just like the apocalypse would mean like the end of everything, and everything would just be kind of like a pointless void. What's the joy and fun in the world? You know, you're never going to be able to feel the sun on your face. You're never going to be able to skin another person. It's just, it feels, you know, hear that song you love again, watch your favorite movie. I've been really wanting to put a human inside an alien green Kia Soul.
Yeah, you really found a new passion, Derek. Happens to you.
This is really disturbing stuff psychologically.
Horrible.
Trust me, much better than what he was doing 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. Brian looks at the four of you, takes in this information, and says to Bartholomew,
set up the cube.
And teleports out. Do you set up the cube?
I'm setting up the cube.
The cube of hate?
The torment.
The infinite cube of hate.
The infinite. What's he gonna do with the infinite cube of hate?
He pops back in, holding Baslara by her robes.
Hey, Mom.
What have you done?
I thought we weren't gonna use the infinite cube of hate.
I think it was like a company decision. Wasn't really. This is Dougie's fault. This was Dougie's idea, actually.
Oh, Doug.
Yeah.
It was Doug.
We're
kind of
being forced
this
into it through Doug.
Oh, no. Void Mother. We'll do our best to avenge you.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. We'll get him next time.
Bartholomew is fully holding the cube and slowly puts it on the ground in front of him and is like, yeah, Doug. What the hell?
Oh no, Doug's making
this
you do
this.
This
is extremely
Doug,
messed up. Doug.
I can't believe Doug is doing
Doug.
This. Doug is making us save the world.
the last things that Boslara hears as she gets lowered into the infinite cube of hate is the four of you just just blaming Doug as Doug, she goes into
so
this
mad.
Cube of just pure vile energy that no one really knows what goes on in there. And Brian, the herald of the irrevocable apocalypse, points Pathforge at Bartholomew and goes,
"You wanted this, right?"
As in Pathforge itself?
No. This is mine.
Oh,
this is
no.
mine.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
But
reaches his hand into the infinite
cube of
hate, takes Boslara's like fancy headdress and puts it on you. Like it's like a Pope hat.
It's so ill-fitting.
I turn to Indica. You are now my son. You will listen to me.
Papa!
Is that how it works?
Yes, it is how it works.
The words I say.
I love you, Papa.
Wait.
Thank you, my boy.
Were they never actually related? Was it the hat?
It's the hat.
The hat all along.
Yeah, it's the hat.
It's the
Brian then gets on the god mic to all of the employees and uses his powers to expand it to the rest of the labyrinth.
Hey, everybody. Brian, the herald of the irrevocable apocalypse. Boslara's no more. Derek's in charge, so listen to him now.
Bartholomew.
Who?
It's a new name.
I know who you are.
Okay, all right.
Listen to Bartholomew.
Okay.
He's now the one in charge.
Yes.
Have a good life, everybody.
And he teleports out, leaving the four of you having avoided the irrevocable apocalypse at the cost of Boslara the Sweet. Bartholomew, what are you up to now that you've been in charge for a bit? What's going on?
Immediately turns around to everyone the second this kind of happens. All right, everyone, that was a good break. I'll see you all on Monday, I guess. Take the weekend.
Take the weekend.
Hey, do I still get to do morale? I know you were really big on the firings and the cube of hate sort of thing. Under new management, do we still get to do the HR stuff? Or
I get one firing per quarter.
Century.
Decade.
Biannually.
What?
That's I'm into that.
More?
Yeah.
No.
That's good for me.
Oh, wait. No.
No, you said it. You said it first.
I couldn't remember whether that was twice a year or once every 2 years.
That's still
more. Oh, God, whatever once every 2 years is.
That's still more than a 10 years.
More than a decade.
Oh.
I take it. You said it.
Oh, God, you're right. I did say it. I'm sorry. We're going to have to work that out.
It's now company policy.
Never been a good negotiator.
Yes.
I just want people to be happy.
And my new office is going to be in the warehouse. You don't come directly to me. You speak to my son. And then he brings notes to me.
Aye, aye, Papa.
Good job. Also, mandatory, there will be a theater performance led by my son.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Whenever he kind of feels like it.
Really done an about face on Indica.
Well, he's my boy now.
We're doing Uncle Vanya next week.
It's all Chekhov.
Merrick, what happens with you?
Merrick feels a little socially bolstered by all of these experiences, and I think that maybe outside of work they start going to a couple of like little meetups and social things and just trying to do some stuff outside of work to enjoy the years that come after the apocalypse that they never knew that they would have. And I think they have all of these little mugs made like their, you know, best assistant regional manager of HR for each of the people that were involved in this, for Bartholomew and Sonia and Dendra, Brian and Indica. And then I think there's like a little talking head where they have all of these like little wrapped presents in front of them, and also just like four seagulls just perched around them. And they just say, maybe the real apocalypse was the friends we made along the way.
Indica, how are you and your new mommy?
I think Indica is like in his office and is like, you know, this is great. New papa, way better than old mama. And I understand all my siblings now hate me because I'm the favorite. And then just like kind of like swivels in their chair, turns around and is like looking at a picture of like Bartholomew, Merrick, Sonia, and Brian all doing the seagull. And is like, this place isn't so bad. And then takes a sip out of their mug that says, Bartholomew's the best dad.
That's what their mug says?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, God.
Sonia.
I think, Indica, you... like at some point when you're at home, you go outside and on your front lawn is a forklift with a note card that just says, eh, what the f-?
It's a shiny pair of keys.
Yeah. And I think, God, I think there's just like a silent shot of Dendra and Sonia playing playing mini golf.
Oh, like that's just so cute.
Just spending time together.
Oh, that's really
and
sweet.
I think Sonia keeps working here and is a little more attentive to the upkeep of the engine of Oz, of Elgarath and Keldrain, and is doing her best to try and lock down the Warhammer of Gideon.
It's somewhere.
As the days pass, the infinite cube of hate has been left in the office as a reminder of what happened. No one else has been put in, but similarly to looking up in the sky for Santa on Christmas, every so often you'll just hear in the distance as Brian travels throughout the labyrinth.
Wow.
Deep in the roots of Yggdrasil, Nidhogg is still there, still eating, still waiting for the apocalypse to end at some point. But that day is not today.
Thanks so much for listening to the final episode of Mage Hand High Five. Thank God it's Doomsday. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For just $5 a month, you get all kinds of extra goodies like early access to merch, peeks behind the GM screen, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about all the behind-the-scenes fun of the show. Not to mention, you can help support small creators like us as we work on this passion project for you. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Check out our website at magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at magehandhighfive. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. Do it, or else the world will end. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon, and I'm going to do it in one breath. Mara Nutt, Max Eats Sticks, Malty, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Koppel, Jay, Theo Ells, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippy Fresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jellycube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest Doki, Gary Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldest Soul, Jelana Pang, Laura Hickman, Al Crow, Atlee, and Sammy Richardson.
boy, that was a tough one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your folks about the show. Tell your boss that you haven't actually been working and you've just been listening to our show instead, because at least you're not listening to Smut and Hey. How about a high five?